Computer science is usually boring, or it's just for nerds. At least that's what many people think.
Yeah, that's what my wife thinks. Hey everyone, welcome back. In case you're new here, we're InCluTS, a podcast aiming to make computer science more accessible and enjoyable for everyone.
I'm Janelle Salunga, a science and tech studies major at UC Davis.
I'm Joa Porke, a big podcast fan and an assistant professor of teaching computer science here at the University of California, Davis. We know it's been a million years since the last episode, but we took on a big challenge this time. Instead of having one interview, like in the previous episodes, we interviewed a bunch of people, from the chancellor of UC Davis to our friends and family. That's why it took us a lot longer to create this episode.
But we were able to gather a lot of interesting stories from people about their experience of the pandemic and how they're going through this time, especially when it comes to working from home. And we're super excited to share what they said.
My name is Matt Simons. I am 21 years old and I'm a student at UC Davis.
The first topic we asked people about was their work environment. Since we're all working from home these days, we wanted to hear about everyone's situation.
Currently, I am in Davis, California. I'm holed up in my apartment with my 5 roommates. For starters, the first thing that I had to do was clean off my desk. I never used my desk at home. I was always studying in the library or out in the coffee house. You know, I came home and I was like, I don't do work at home. I go to work outside and I come home and I don't have to do... I keep the headspaces separate, you know what I mean? And now that I'm in quarantine, I wake up at 11 o'clock and I go to class from 11 to 1. I've got work from 4 to 5 and then I've got club meetings from 5 to 6. So at any given day, I'm spending 5 or 6 hours a day looking at Zoom.
All right. Hi, everyone. This is Jules Lozano. I'm coming at you from the Central Valley, from Fresno, California.
By the way, Jules is part of our team at InCluTS. She's one of 2 people in charge of our social media. She's the one behind all of the cool posts on our Instagram page.
My desk here, though, is so much smaller than what I'm used to in the dorms. It's a very different environment work-wise because I have a lot of distractions. Like, I have my brother, I have my dog, I have my mom, and I have all my instruments here. I have, like, all of my hobbies that I was into here, and so it's really easy for me to find things to do that are not school.
Olivia is another one of our team members for the podcast. She's our lead researcher and scriptwriter.
Hi, this is Olivia. So right now, I'm home in San Mateo. I went home for spring break intending to return to my apartment, but after the Bay Area / California shelter in place happened, I figured it would be better for my mental and physical health to just stay with my family. Moving home as a college student has definitely been an adjustment, but overall, it's been good. Right now, I'm actually working out of my garage. My dad had a home office out here that he kind of abandoned after he moved into a new home office. So I'm out in the garage. There's not a ton of natural light, and I'm oftentimes interrupted by the sounds of my washer and dryer. But overall, it's really quiet. And it's a really good place to kind of drop everything else and focus on school or my internship. And I feel really lucky to have it because I'm definitely not someone who can work in my room or on my bed. But working in such solitary conditions has definitely made me miss studying with my friends in the Kemper basement or in coffee shops.
What about you, Jenna? Where do you work?
Well, my work environment has changed drastically because I was a bit of a nomad before quarantine happened. I tended to do most of my studying at my friend's apartment or at the at coffee shops around town. And so now it's weird being kind of homebound, and I don't like it as much, but I've started to kind of get used to it. I'm actually in the same apartment as Armin, one of the other team members right now. And I've been quarantining there for the past like month plus. As weird as it sounds, doing work in a place where there's always six or so people has actually helped me, because it's helped me because it feels kind of similar to a coffee shop where there's background noise and it feels like a very communal atmosphere. And even though it may not be like the most ideal place, I like it a lot more than I did when I was kind of just quarantining alone, because that was really lonely, and I like being around people. I'm an extrovert, so it's been a good change of pace to be quarantining somewhere where it's rowdy and rambunctious and stuff like that. What about you, Joelle? How has your work environment changed? What is working at home like for you compared to working at your office?
Well, so I worked at home for a few months after the pandemic started, from say like April up until the end of August. And same as you, like, I think I'm an extrovert and I like being more in touch with people. And so I actually started going back to the office. I'm kind of by myself here, but at least I pretend like life is normal. And I get to like commute every day and listen to podcasts in the car and like ride my bike on campus. And I don't know, it gives me like a sense of normalcy that I really have missed recently.
Yeah, building back some kind of routine instead of just going through this kind of void of time is really helping you feel a lot more grounded. Working from home can be nice because it means you can wake up and head straight to class, and that can save a lot of time.
Yeah, 1 minute you're finishing breakfast, the next you're already processing work emails.
1 minute you're writing the last sentence of your essay, and the next you can call it a day and go out for a stroll in the neighborhood with a mask.
But for most people, working from home all of a sudden comes with a set of challenges.
My name is Ina. I work for the Strategic Growth Council, which is an organization that is embedded within the Governor's Office of Planning and Research.
What kind of distractions or barriers do you face in your workspace that make it more difficult to focus?
Well, there's always easy access to food. So that is one distraction that is I'm always sort of fighting with. But I think also it's just, you know, having a little bit less. I think being able to look at other things online, or like particularly with what's going on right now in terms of you know, protests and police brutality and you know, struggling with how to handle this moment of you know, really this reckoning that we're having with racial inequity in this country, has made it really hard, I think, to continue focusing on work, especially when it's pretty easy to fall down a rabbit hole. I think that's been the main thing, but in a lot of other ways, it's been a lot easier for me to focus because it's just me in my office and I'm not listening to other people on the phone or other people's conversations or having people pop their head into the office every few minutes. So,
first thing first, can you briefly say who you are for our listeners?
Yeah, Gary May, Chancellor at UC Davis.
From my understanding on what it is to be a chancellor, it's a lot of problem solving, and it's not something that you can do on the phone or on Zoom meetings, so it must have been pretty difficult.
It's more challenging for sure. My usual day is quite a few face-to-face meetings, either here in Davis or in Sacramento at the health campus. And the thing that's missing the most, though, during the pandemic is I usually have lots of events, dinners and receptions and all sorts of things like that, that those aren't happening now. And then travel, so there's no travel now. So in some ways I have more time, but it's more challenging to use that time effectively because I have to be on Zoom all day. All right, so.
Next, we're hearing from Professor Ferenc, the chair of the CS department.
I'm Professor Ferenc. Chair of the department, been a professor at UC Davis for 31 years. My daughter is a PhD student at the University of Delaware, and she was fortunate enough to sort of be, she'd come back for a visit when the pandemic hit. So she's since they closed everything and she can work from here, she's been here since March, which has been wonderful. But of course, that's a distraction because my daughter's in the other room. And so anytime I'm not feeling like working, I should go out and be a parent. And then she also has a cat. And so the cat will come in and lay on me. And well, I have to pet the cat because that would be rude otherwise. And so there are a number of distractions that will disappear when she returns. Not complaining about distractions, but they're very much, I'm not nearly as efficient as I was before she arrived, but.
It sounds like they are struggling with work for the most part, being stuck at home and having to conduct their meetings online. But we also asked them about their coping strategies and what makes them go through this tough time.
For example, Ina is watching a lot of Schitt's Creek. It's a TV show that got a lot of awards.
I have been running in the mornings, which has been really helpful. And spending time with my husband, good food. I think cooking has been a really helpful way to like have some special time and be able to celebrate, important things that come up, like Fridays and weekends, important things. I'm really getting into crafting. I've been doing a ton of knitting and I'm starting to do some macrame projects. I've been gardening, growing my own tomatoes and zucchinis for the first time ever.
We have a little zucchini growing. It's very cute.
Two little zucchinis.
Two zucchinis, mm-hmm. Wow.
On his end, Matt Ferens has been doing a lot of puzzles.
Didn't really do puzzles all that much before. Had some, but it's sort of like daughter's here, and so you want to spend time with your adult daughter, but and so it's like, well, let's just work on a puzzle. And we have done probably 20 or 30 of them now. We've ranged from 300. We did a bunch of 300s, a bunch of 500s. We just finished 1,000 piece that literally took us 2 weeks. So the ones that are the most fun are the ones that you can actually do. You can apply an algorithm. So like there's this one puzzle we did which had a whole bunch of donuts on it of all different frostings. So you could just pretty much find all the pieces that are the right colored frostings, put the donuts together, and then eventually put them back on the thing and tie them together. And that was fun. The one we just finished, we did one that a while back that was a lion laying in the grass in the savannah. And that was just more of a nightmare than anything because everything was shades of brown. There was almost no edges. All the things that you try to do to make a puzzle was not there. The one we just finished was really interesting because it was a Christmas painting. So it was a painting of this sort of skating circle with snow around it and the mountains in the background, all this stuff. And really, really difficult. But the puzzle pieces weren't all the same. So you could use the shape and the color. And so it's fun. That I would say as far as a hobby goes, that's something that we've been doing that never really did at any great length before. And it's surprising because I think puzzling is more of a social thing. Doing a puzzle by yourself, you can, but it's not as much fun as doing it with somebody else. Parallelism is involved. The puzzle gets done twice as fast. You'll go on a run and then you'll grind to a halt, but then they put a whole bunch of pieces in, so.
What about you, Joel? Have you been doing a lot of puzzles? How have you been coping right now?
I have not done puzzles in a long time. I guess I could. I've been mostly involved in doing some woodworking. I'm slowly replacing all the pieces of furniture in my home by things I've built myself. So not everything is stable, but at least it's directly mine, which feels good. And it's very consistent because everything is made of wood of pretty much the same taint. So that's nice. What about you?
I've been coping by, I think, just playing a lot of music. I've been playing a lot of guitar, which has been nice because normally with school, I don't have a lot of time to, or I don't make a lot of time to play instruments, but it's nice to have something to do with my hands that is directly, or that takes me away from my screen for a little bit. So that's one big thing I've been doing. I've also been cooking a lot. I stress baked like 3 apple crisps in this past week, and I'm pretty sure my housemates, while grateful that it's free food, are also like, why do they keep baking apple crisps? So that's another thing.
Well, if you have too much apple crisps, I would be happily, I would gladly eat some.
Okay, good to know. I'll let you know. I think it gets devoured pretty fast, but I'll keep you in the loop.
What's interesting is to get people's impression of the pandemic and what effects they've noticed.
We asked Nathan about his experiences, and he talked about friends of his from Pomona College, which is down in LA.
I have friends who had to basically beg Pomona to let them stay on campus because they didn't feel safe coming home. So yeah, I just, everybody wants to come back. There's not much contention there. It's just not everyone's coming at it with the same perspective, with the same urgency. On Zoom, my parents, they're Kumon instructors, so they were Zooming their students while I was in the middle of the lecture. So I would disconnect at least once every lecture. It was very frustrating because my parents, like, whenever they needed tech support, they, more times than not, I was their best resource. So they would just barge into my room, like, panicking because it's not like they're technologically illiterate. Like, both of them are, like, they have experience with computers, but this isn't their job either. They're here to help kids, like, learn, you know? They're not here to figure out the complexities of Zoom interfaces and architecture. I think the most inspiring part of this whole thing so far has been, like, I've been working with this one guy over in Turlock, right? Mm-hmm. And on his side of Turlock, like, no, he seems to be, like, he feels like he's the only one in his neighborhood who actually knows that he and his kids are supposed to wear masks. And he's the one in his neighborhood who has gone out of their way to, like, buy or make masks. And he... like this whole virus, like just like how I became a lot more conscious about my place at a like predominantly white and wealthy liberal arts college, this virus has made him so much more conscious about where he is in our economic order. And like he opened it, like it opened his eyes to the effects of like redlining and underemployment and all these different just oppressive institutions going on that he never really thought seriously about before. And this is like just a normal like working class Joe trying to feed his family, and in trying to protect his family he woke up and he's getting involved, and I'm helping him basically lead a whole grassroots campaign to bring masks to his community. So I guess we're just seeing the worst and the best, and hopefully we come out of it appreciating the best and being more angry with the worst.
This worldwide pandemic situation is really showing that our time is no different than what we read in history textbooks. Actually, it's funny because back in December, I watched the movie 1917 about World War I. And after finishing the movie, I went on Wikipedia to read more about the war, and kind of discovered, or maybe rediscovered, as I must have learned about this in school, the pandemic episode caused by the Spanish flu that infected a third of the planet's population at the time and killed tens of millions of people. And when I read that back in December, I was blown away. But it felt so distant, so much in the past, and I could not believe for one second that something so big could happen again right now. And just a month later or something, COVID-19 was out, and we were in fact in this very situation.
Next, we hear from Matt Simons, and he says the pandemic seems to have strengthened his relationship with his girlfriend.
I didn't expect to be spending this much time with my girlfriend, honestly.
Oh, really?
Honestly, no. I mean, we've had this conversation before, but it's definitely been like, oh, hey, you know, like, it's great seeing you. I love seeing you. And I've seen you every day for the past 8 weeks. And it's a slog. It's a slog. There are times when she just, you know, says like, hey, what's up? I need a day. Or like, hey, what's up? I need a day. And we just don't see each other. Usually you don't have to, you know, you don't have to genetically engineer that in a lab with a relationship. Yes, usually that just happens.
Yeah.
But
this has been a test case.
Yes, this is a test case.
Okay. To remind you, this is being recorded and will be aired. So.
Oh boy, I love you, honey.
For this episode, we'd like to thank all of our interviewees for taking the time to answer our questions, especially Chancellor Gary May and Chair Matt Ferens.
We'd also like to thank Noah. He's just joined the team and he's already helped us a lot with the sound editing. And listeners, as usual, let us know what you think of this episode on Instagram or Twitter, or email us if you want to. See you next time, and in the meantime, wear a mask.
Logging off.